Welcome to our weekend worship service here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in New London, especially those of you who may be listening to this service on the radio, watching it on Facebook or on our website. We're here to bring you the greatest message of all, the love of God in Christ. We're following a series called I Am a Church Member. Each week we're taking a different look at what that means. And the only way to make church work is when we work together in unity. And that's the theme we're going to be looking at, that Christ gives unity as a special gift to his church. And we receive that gift and we see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we work together in unity and harmony for the good of the gospel and for, well, the growth of God's kingdom. We're going to follow the order of worship you have printed in your worship folder. We will be celebrating communion in the service this evening. And as you heard before the service from Pastor Tiefel, much of the music here is going to be in our new hymnal. And one of those is our opening hymn. It's hymn 729 from the new hymnal, Son of God, Eternal Savior. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, And trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I now forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. Amen.
Thank you.
probably the most fitting way to hear the absolution, the blessing of God that our sins are no more. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, where two or three are gathered in your name, you promise to be with them and share their fellowship. Look on us, your family, and graciously bless us with unity and harmony, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first lesson from Proverbs chapter 4, beginning with verse 20, we're reminded to guard our heart and our mouth. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. This is the word of the Lord. For our psalm, we're going to join in singing the refrain from In Unity and Peace. The soloist will sing the verses.
Thank you.
Our sermon series during this time is going to be taken from the book of Ephesians. And this lesson from Ephesians chapter 2, where God builds and creates unity that exists, it's Christ who built it and gave it as a gift to his church. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This, too, is the word of the Lord. Will you please stand for our gospel lesson? Our gospel lesson in Matthew chapter 20 is one of those parables Jesus taught in which the co-workers in the field all receive the same wages, even though they came to work or came to faith at different times in their life. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. You may be seated as we sing another hymn that'll be in the new hymnal, "Oh, How Good It Is." You're invited to join in singing the refrains as indicated. Thank you.
back for a second and try to remember the very first time it dawned on you that you, of all people, were a member of the Christian church. Maybe it was the day you stood up in front of your home congregation. Maybe it was this one here at Emmanuel wearing a white robe like this one, but a little different because it was confirmation day, and you made your promise, I am now a member of this Christian church. Maybe it's a different day, like a transfer of membership, when maybe you got married and married into the family here at Emmanuel. This coming weekend, we're going to have a reception for a few new members who have joined our ranks. Maybe that's the day you remember becoming a member of the Christian church. Or maybe it was a lot farther back than that. Maybe it was a Sunday morning in between services when you were in a Sunday school classroom and it dawned on you that you belonged to Jesus. You sang the little nursery rhyme that just about every single Christian keeps memorized in the back of their head. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. It's a truth that no matter how old you get, you never really grow out of. And it's a truth that we studied last week as we stepped into our sermon series, I Am a Church Member. God gives us his gift of grace, and then he gives each of us his gifts to be a part of his Christian church. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It is by grace you have been saved. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. We are God's workmanship, created in advance to do good things that God made us to do. Maybe that's the little nursery rhyme that taught you that you belong as a member of the Christian church. Or maybe it's a different one that you remember. The little hand play that you learned as a kindergarten student. Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. Do you ever realize that sometimes that's a truth that we seem to grow out of as Christians? Not because of the hand play involved, but because of the truth that it reminds us in. When we say, here is the church, here is the steeple, open the doors and see all the people. And sometimes I have a hard time getting along with all of those people. When you're a little person and a member of the Christian church, you seem to get along with just about everybody, whether they're in your Sunday school class or not. But as you get to be a grown-up, sometimes getting along with other Christians in the Christian church can kind of be a challenge. Shouldn't surprise you anyways. Because increasingly it seems like unity and getting along with other people is getting more and more difficult, if not impossible, in the world in which we're living. From political parties to the meetings in the Green Bay Packers locker room, it seems like these days it's getting harder and harder for people to just get on the same page and get along with one another. And it happens not only in the world in which we live, but in our homes and in our families. Just go out with your wife and try to pick out a paint color for the breezeway, or try to sit with your grandkids and determine which stop you're going to make to get lunch as you're driving with them in the car. And if unity and harmony is a challenge out there, should it surprise us that sometimes unity and harmony is a challenge in here? Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. And what do I do about those people? The challenge of unity in the Christian church is not a challenge that is unique to the congregation of Emmanuel in New London, nor is it unique to people living in our time, in our place. It's a challenge that Christians have dealt with all throughout history, all the way back to the first Christian churches that existed, who claimed the name of their Savior but then struggled to get along. And it just so happens that the man who wrote today's second lesson from Ephesians chapter 2 knew all about what it looked like and what it felt like when Christians couldn't get along. Because after all, the Apostle Paul used to be named the Apostle Saul. He understood what persecution and difficulty, what looking down on some and influencing others was all about, and And Paul realized that if the church was going to endure, it was going to have to find a way to get along. Not because Paul wanted it, but because God wanted it. In our little sermon series, I Am a Church Member, we were following along with a book that's supporting us in that. And in that book, the author writes, God doesn't just expect unity in the Christian church, he demands unity in the Christian church. To not be a disunifying person in this family of faith. To support unity and encourage unity and preserve unity. Really? Because as I sang some of those happy lyrics about getting along with other people and accepting people for who they are, like maybe you're like me and my eyes rolled a little bit in the back of our minds. How on earth are we going to keep a place like this together and unified? Well, I guess we're just going to have to go to the source. Christ gives unity to his church. And as we look to this second chapter of Ephesians in the second week of our sermon series, we'll see how Christ gives unity to his church. First of all, he won it for us. And that's why he wants it for us. The Ephesians were a group of Christians that were just the latest on a long list of congregations that the Apostle Paul was writing letters to try to take care of them. Paul wrote letters to all sorts of different churches all over the world at that time, and each of those churches had their own unique little problems in Corinth and Philippi and the churches in the region of Galatia. But every now and then, it seems that every single one of those churches struggled to get along, especially when you consider that inside of those churches, there were two very defined groups of people. You could call them these people and those people. Jews and Gentiles. People that had grown up worshiping the God of the Hebrews from the Old Testament, and people who had grown up without a clue about the God of the Hebrews from the Old Testament. And each of them had their different ways of doing life, and sometimes those ways of doing life didn't quite agree with one another. These people didn't like those people, and those people didn't like these people. The Jews, of course, tried to live their life in such a way that they could please God with what they did. And the Gentiles, all the rest of the people in the church, never knew about God and so never lived their lives in such a way that would please him. Why doesn't that person think the way that I do? Why can't that person behave the way that I do? It's us versus them. Paul saw the problem that was developing. He knew all about the problem that was developing between Jews and Gentiles. It was the thing that had gotten him arrested and thrown in jail in the first place. And in the temple of Jerusalem, there was a corral that only certain people were allowed into in the temple complex. All you people who aren't Jews, you have to stay out. Paul was accused of bringing a Gentile across the barrier and bringing him too close to a relationship with God. But that wasn't the real problem. The real problem separating people and separating the church that Paul was trying to encourage was the separation that existed between all people and a holy God. Not just the corral, but the curtain that said, until you get right with him, there's no chance for you to be right with anyone. Paul knew that those Jewish believers didn't really understand the love of Christ. And Paul knew that those Gentile believers didn't really learn and understand the love of Christ. So if he could just help them see that, he could help them see that God had brought them both into his family together. This is how Paul says it. For Christ himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in that one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Did you notice in the gospel how quick people like us are to identify the differences we see in others? Did you notice that as all these employees got called into working in the vineyard, some employees recognized that other employees weren't quite like them? That they had borne all the hard work during the heat of the day, and that those people over there suddenly showed up as late bloomers. And as they thought of those differences and the things that separated them and made them different from each other, how the gossip must have started in their mouths. Well, if they're getting a full day's wages, I wonder how much we're going to get. And how the frustration bubbled over in what they say. Why is it that they're being treated like this when I'm being treated like that? And the unity of work that the master wanted in his vineyard was destroyed by the attitude of human hearts. What would happen if God gossiped about us like that to himself? What would the father say to his son as he thinks about the ways that we are? Well, I suppose you're going to have to give that one down there a whole lot of extra grace because of the way that he's behaving. What would the Spirit say to the Father as he thinks about the gifts that he's equipped us with each? Why didn't you give him a couple of extra gifts down here? I mean, I got an awful lot to work with if I'm going to make him an active member of the Christian church. But God doesn't talk like that. God doesn't gossip about us. He gives us grace instead. God doesn't ridicule us for the differences that we have from him. Instead, he redeems us in the blood of his Son. He steps down from his high and holy throne and destroys every difference and barrier that would prevent us from enjoying life with him and life forever. Christ gives this common grace to the church. Christ gives unity to the church. He gives it because he won it. And with this gift, he wants to see it. Now that God has brought us back to him, now that God has brought us together in faith, what then shall we do together, Christian church? Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. In his grace, God gave you your gifts and who you are for such a time as this. And then beyond that, God gifted you his grace by connecting you with other people who have other gifts in this time and place. And sometimes, because of who we are and the gifts we have or the frustrations we feel, we assume that maybe we don't fit so well in this building called the Christian church. And that's where we can begin doing a great deal of damage. What happens when one brick fails to support another? Every brick above it finds itself in jeopardy. What would you say to a contractor who wanted to renovate here inside of our building and said, I've tacked down all the ceiling tiles the way they need to be, except a couple of them are kind of loose. You'll find out where they are. Only to realize the kind of loose attitudes and loose conversations we can have as we criticize and tear down inside the Christian church. Or a plumber who would say, you know, I've made all the junctions and got one unified plumbing system for you in this congregation, but there's a couple of junctions that are going to leak every now and then. I'm not going to tell you where they are. You'll find out. It's an awful lot like gossip in a Christian church. A slow and unassuming little conversation here and there that causes all sorts of damage. Or an electrician. I've got your whole electrical system all tied in and unified, except for a couple of live wires out there that I haven't quite buckled down. Sometimes when we launch into our criticisms and our frustrations with others, and we seek to take our energy and our passions and conduct it anywhere that can be found, instead of conducting that to the places where it needs to be, in conversations with those who need forgiveness, in conversations with our leaders and our friends. In this way, Christ teaches us the Christian church that he has made us to be. Each member supporting the other. Each one understanding and forgiving the other. With patience and forbearance and love as we go about the task that Christ has given us to do as a church. To be the beautiful building that he's made us to be. Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people to whom God has connected you. Purely out of his grace and purely by his word, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. Unity in a Christian congregation. Without Christ, impossible. But with Christ, our peace, beautiful. He has won it for us, and he wants it for us. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which goes beyond our hearts and our minds, will guard them in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's confess our united Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated. It's usually at this time that we gather an offering, and you can see boxes in the entryway and other opportunities to do that online and in our church office. Our service then continues with the prayer of the church.
Almighty and eternal God, you are the Lord of time and eternity, and you have appointed us to serve you in this time and in this place. Hear us as we ask your blessing on the church, its people, and the world which you have called us to serve. Lord God, when the time had fully come, you sent your Son to take our place under the demands of the law and to endure the punishment of our sins. For our sake, you accepted his sacrifice and then raised him from the dead, that we might be redeemed and reconciled to you forever. For your great mercy, we give you thanks. Lord God, in the course of time, you equipped the Holy Christian Church to be the messenger of your grace to the ends of the earth and even to us. You made our forefathers bold to stand on the truth of your word. You have blessed the message of those like us and those unlike us to be witnesses of your truth in this place and every place. For your great mercy, we give you thanks. Let this be a time, O Lord, when you renew again in us a love for your word and sacraments, through which you restore us to the joy of fellowship and service. Grant us the courage, unity, and dedication of the apostles and all who have gone before us to commit ourselves to each other and to the mission you have given your church. For your great mercy, Lord, we give you thanks. In times such as these, we come to you and ask for your help, strength, healing, and peace, especially for those facing chaos and turmoil in Afghanistan. Come quickly and give comfort to the families of the Marines and sailors who lost their lives in service to our country. Be with the families of the civilians who have been killed and all those who have been injured. Guide all involved to make a peaceful end to this tragic moment. Stop the bloodshed and the plans of all those hell-bent on violence and death. Continue to be with all those who are still in harm's way. Be with all those still serving and protecting the innocent, the vulnerable, and the oppressed. We also ask, O Lord, that you would give strength to doctors and nurses who continue to attend the needs of the sick in their work, which so often carries great burdens and goes without gratitude. Give them the joy to know that you are the physician of their souls, who guides them and blesses the work that they do to your glory. Lastly, but most importantly, open the hearts of all people to look to you as the source of true peace, hope, and unity. Such is what you have given through the gift of our Savior Jesus, who lived, died, and lives again. Hear us as in his name we now join to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He sends the Holy Spirit to testify that we are his children and to strengthen us when we are weak. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which was poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Thank you. Now may our Savior's true body and blood strengthen and keep you in the true faith until life everlasting. May God's peace be with you always. Amen. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Wow, what an awesome service. Our thanks to all of the people who put this service together, all the new music, the singers, the players. And yes, you did multiple things here today. Well preached on the unity. It's one of those themes in the New Testament that every New Testament writer hits on because they know how strongly Christ worked to create that peace and unity and to give it as one of the most precious gifts we have. In unity, we are going to be receiving new members into our church this weekend. You see pictures of them in the bulletin. God's really been blessing us incredibly. We have an even larger number of people who are going to be taking the starting point class starting up here in September. School started this last week. It was off to an awesome start. There's so many great things that are happening here at Emmanuel. And, well, we thank God for all of those and all of the blessings. And I thank God for you because, well, I am a church member, but I get to be a church member with people like you. And that's the awesome thing, to be built together like living stones with people like you, to be a member of the same body that God joins us together, unites us, that we get to do all these awesome things. And there's a lot of things that's going to be unfolding this fall. To help you understand a little better what it means to be a church member, we are offering these books and Bible classes. Now, there's a Bible class in between the 8 and 10:30 services, which you may or may not be able to attend. If you cannot attend it, you can still pick up this Bible class. They're available out on the tables in the narthex by the doors. This is session 2. We can pick up session 1. I don't know if they're still out there yet or not. And this book, I am a church member. Each chapter is what we're focusing on during this 6-week series. And you can read the next chapter and be prepared for the next week's sermon, which is going to talk about humility that God gives us, which is really what makes unity work. Well, I hope and pray that each and every one of you is truly blessed this week, and that we get to rejoice in the times that God has put us in and keep all of those people that are struggling in Afghanistan in your prayers, that God would work his protecting love on them. You have an awesome week in Christ.